the most important thing I could do right now is talk to this guy. He is the head basketball coach at the University of Texas. He was named head coach on April 1st. He was the 2019 National Coach of the Year, two-time Big 12 Coach of the Year. Texas leads the nation in scoring defense and top 10 in turnover margin. If you know anything about that guy, that should not surprise you. They're 13-3 overall. They're number 21 in the AP poll. They're at number 15, Iowa State, on Saturday. He is a good dude and a good friend. He is Chris Beard. My man, Chris, what's going on? How are you?
Jim, what's up, man? Good to hear from you.
You too, dude. Talk to me. It's been a minute or two since you and I last spoke. In fact, not since you got that job. How are you doing? How is your life right now? What is life like in Austin?
All good. This first year has been really fun. We got a good group of guys. I think we got one of those teams. Like a few other teams in college basketball, where if everything kind of goes right and we hit at the right time, we could be a real factor in March. But it's been great being back in my alma mater, and I think we got a good team.
Chris Beard joining us. All right, Chris, let's talk about some of the things that are happening right now. You're coming off a 14-point win over Oklahoma last night. That was the biggest margin of victory for Texas in that series for more than a decade. What did you make of the way your players showed up last night, especially on the defensive end, and maybe even more specifically, getting out and defending the three?
Yeah, the Texas OU, you know, games are always great. It's a great rivalry. Basketball is no different, so... Really, it was one of the best games we played this year. We got a lot of respect for Oklahoma. Porter's a longtime friend of mine. He's in his first year there, just like we are here. But the guys were dialed in last night. We guarded at a high level. We were a little disappointed in our last game out. So I think our guys were motivated to play their best, and that's what we did.
Talking to Chris Beard, you know, when you arrived, the roster was effectively a blank page, right? And then you spoke to Brock Cunningham, and he committed to returning. I remember back when you were at Texas Tech, and you gave him love during a game and said, quote, if Brock has a twin brother or a cousin that's looking for a place to play, 806-742-7600 is the office number, end of quote. And we're talking about a guy who averaged 2 rebounds and less than 2 points per game last year. So how do you explain his impact on the program, and what's it been like to work with the real Brock Cunningham instead of a brother or a cousin?
Yeah, Brock's the best. We had great respect coaching against him, and then we're just enjoying every day having a chance to coach him. He's a tough guy. You know, I think in our society, in our game, you know, the word tough is kind of overused. But with Brock, I mean, it's real. Like, he's... You know, like, he's one of those guys, you know, if he drops a French fry, he doesn't have, like, the five-second rule. He has the five-minute rule. You know, he'll pick it up out of the parking lot and eat it, and no worries. He loves physicality. Trying to teach Brock kind of how to understand, like, when the other team's in the bonus or not. And certainly when we have fouls to give, we let Brock be Brock. He's a great guy. Like, you know, when we got here, we obviously had no players, so you got to kind of re-recruit the guys that are here. Brock's the first guy we reached out to, I think just because the list was in alphabetical order, but his phone immediately went to, like, unavailable. And so couldn't get a hold of him for about 2 days. Then I found out that he was actually on a one-man road trip. He got in his car with a backpack and a cooler or something and kind of took off. I think he got all the way into, like, Wyoming or Montana or somewhere. So I always liked the guy, but when I heard that our player was on a one-day road trip without a cell phone, it made me even like him more. So I love that guy.
Dude, you're the absolute best. Chris Beard joining us. And then again, what says toughness like a dude who's got a 5-minute or a 5-hour French fry rule? In fact, in talking about him, you've said, quote, I've always had respect for players that play the game with a no regret, no backup plan kind of approach. Brock was always that guy. Yeah, I don't know, Chris. I've known you a long time. It strikes me that you're kind of that guy as well, that no regret, no backup plan guy. So how much of yourself do you see in him, maybe?
A lot. Yeah, I never heard it phrased like that, but I think we're both really competitive. I think we're both guys that know what we want. We're willing to do what it takes to get it. But I also think we're both, you know, guys that got some humility and are great teammates. And, you know, Brock's a guy, he's going to do what you ask him to do. Some nights he gets called on a little bit more than others. But going down the stretch here, we got high expectations for him. He's also, like, a really unique guy, Jim, with this whole, like, you know, extra year with COVID, these super seniors and stuff. Like, I can't even tell, like, what these guys are, but this is crazy to think about it. But, like, Brock Cunningham has, like, 3 years left after this one. Like, he will literally be like Rodney Dangerfield one day. He'll be, like, 36, 36, you know, playing his senior year at Texas. So people look at me like I'm crazy, but he's like a COVID redshirt special sophomore right now, if I'm right.
Dude, you were so funny. Like, Rodney Dangerfield, I don't know, Chris, if you remember the first time you saw that movie, Back to School, right? The Triple Lindy, I don't know why, but I remember watching that for the first time, and I laughed my ass off. Like, I thought that was the funniest thing ever. Like, when they had that thing in super slow-mo, and they had those jump edits, and he's going from diving board to diving board. How funny was that?
The best, man. And, you know, coaching college sports, like, you know, from time to time, you get a chance to walk across campus or you go to some event in the student union or something, and you kind of catch yourself thinking, like, God, dude, if I could just have, like, you know, two more days or just one day being a student. And Rodney Dangerfield, that's what he pulled off. So I kind of vicariously lived through him every time I watch that movie.
Chris Beard joining us. It's so true. I can remember one time also when I was mentioning this earlier, Chris, when you and I met, but even prior to that, like when I first got my start in TV, I interviewed him once and I just couldn't believe it. Like, he was the biggest thing in the world and I couldn't wait to talk to him. And then he came in the studio, and I don't mean this in any disrespect at all, because the guy was such a legend and such a genius, but he was like the way he really was in those movies. Like, he was out of sorts. And he was saying things to me like, what are we talking about? What are we doing? I'm like, Rodney, whatever the hell you want, man. Your world, your life. I can't even believe you and I are in the same space. And it just was so weird and so different because he was acting like that guy. You know a lot of people. Have you ever met somebody that you really wanted to meet and then it kind of went weirdly or sideways? Is there anybody that sticks out like that?
You know, I think the great ones are real, if that makes sense.
Yes.
You know, I know. I always had a lot of respect for Coach Mike Leach, and you know, when I had a chance to meet him, he's as kind of unique in person as he is, you know, when you watch the interviews and stuff. So that's one that comes to mind. But yeah, no doubt about it. There's characters in our game, and the real ones are kind of what you think they would be, I guess is the best way to say it.
We're talking to Chris Beard. We're just talking about a lot of different stuff here. Now, when you talk about going back to school and maybe being a student, back in November, you played a home game in Gregory Gym, which is an old school gym that the program has not played in since the late 70s. Before that game, you actually arranged a party at the Tower, and then you led the students over to the gym. How did the idea first come to be, and then what was it like to see that whole thing play out?
Yeah, it was kind of a spur-of-the-moment idea. It was the first couple of days at school at Texas, they have this thing like Back to Texas. It's actually really cool. It's right there by the Tower in the middle of the campus, and all the students come out. It has like kind of like a graduation feel, but it's like the first day of school. And they asked me to get up there and speak. And, you know, I'm a no-note guy. You know, it's kind of spur of the moment. So I actually got up there. I was thinking Ted Lasso, so I had everybody kind of hug each other. Then I remembered the COVID was going on, so I got reprimanded for that. But just standing out there, I looked over the campus and I saw these students, and I just thought, man. So I just, you know, kind of popped off like, hey, if we sell out our first home basketball game here in a couple of weeks, we'll have a party at the Tower. Luckily to me, the administration here has been great, and our athletic director and president supported the idea. So yeah, we did an old school party, and you know, I never heard of this word before, but the darty. And Brock Cunningham was actually the one that told me about it. I said, Brock, what's a darty? He's like, Coach, man, it's a party during the day. But man, I like that. So we had a darty, and you know, we knocked out two birds with one stone. We had the darty before that throwback game, and then after the darty, we all walked over to the gym together and played a home game. So it was a cool idea.
That's a great idea. Texas head basketball coach Chris Beard joining us. And in that game, one fan in particular went legend. I'm talking about that dude in the Hawaiian shirt. You brought him in for a film session with the team. What was that like, and then what did it mean to have that kind of support from the students?
Yeah, it's awesome. You know, we're trying to build a fan base here. There's no group more important than the student section. So, you know, every night after the games, we're watching the games as a staff. We've got the different camera angles, and we're always watching our bench. We call them culture clips. When our guys act the right way on a bench, when they enjoy each other's success, we're always looking for funny moments that happen within the game. And the camera angle had this student that was in the Hawaiian shirt right behind the basket, and the guy was legendary. Like, every time we shot, he shot and held his follow through. He had a couple of obscene gestures to the officials that we had to get cleaned up a little bit, but his heart was in the right place. The guy had energy, and he had juice, man. He did it from warm-ups all the way to the school song. So we found him, you know, social media, you can find anybody these days. we found him. We invited him over to practice. We let him talk to the team. The best thing was he wore the Hawaiian shirt the next day, too. So I respect that, too. You know, kind of like Brock picking up the French fry. I mean, you know, you're in college, man. Who doesn't wear the same shirt 3-4 days in a row? No problem. So I respected that.
I respected that you guys went and found this guy. What about the players? Did they love him? How did they react to him when they saw him?
You know, the guys are starting to kind of understand who we are, and you expect the unexpected. So some of the veterans, literally every time we do something, they're like, man, what is Coach doing now?
Right.
And then the other guys are like, oh, here we go again. So it was great. We called him Hawaiian Shirt Guy. I think his social life's picked up a little bit because of us. You know, he's good. And then a couple games later, you know, we bring the students on the floor after the games to take pictures and stuff. So, you know, and they sell beer at the games now at all these arenas. So the other night, Hawaiian Shirt Guy kind of bumped into me after the game. I was like, what's up, man? I look at him. He's sitting there holding like two 16-ounce Coors Lights. He's like double fisting. And I was like, man, life's good for a Hawaiian Shirt Guy. And he goes, yeah, thanks for everything, Coach.
Oh, that is so good. Hey, Chris, do you even know what a Hawaiian Shirt Guy's name is? Not that it matters.
I do not. Nope.
Let's keep it that way.
Maybe I should.
No, I
know what the names of the Iowa State guys are, but not Hawaiian Shirt.
There you go. Speaking of which, before you go, so you're tied for first in the Big 12. And as always, it is a gnarly conference. You've got number 15, Iowa State, on Saturday after they nearly beat Kansas in Lawrence last night. What are you telling your guys as you get ready for that game? How do they look to you on tape?
Yeah, 18-round fight in our league. It really is sick. Everybody kind of talks about it. It's not coaching talk. It's not fluff. It really is, man. It's 10 teams that are literally all top 25 teams, and it's just it's a bloodbath. So this next one, to me, is always like, you know, why you play and coach at this level. Iowa State, one of the all-time great fan bases in college basketball. TJ, new coach, doing a great job. You know, this league's tough, man. The strong survive. Like Iowa State a couple of days ago, you know, they're a basket away from being a top-five team. Now I think they find themselves 1-3 in the league. They're literally three possessions away from being undefeated in our league. So you just got to give yourself a chance every night, and that's what we intend to do this weekend. But they're really good. They're a team that could look up. They could be in a Final Four, no doubt about it.
Speaking of which, one last thought. I understand that it's only January 12th, Chris, but you made the point, quote, when we win, we all eat. End of quote. And you're really clear that winning is not just about having a nice regular season. Quote, I'm talking about trying to get on a ladder with a pair of scissors and ultimately the Final Four. End of quote. It is early January, mid-January. I get this. Are you starting to get a sense that this team's got that kind of upside and potential?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't shy away from that. We, you know, we're one of those teams. I think there's, you know, probably a handful of teams each year that are kind of the favorites that everybody can visualize. Certainly last year that was Gonzaga and Baylor. Then I think there's that next group, you know, where they're going to be a part of the fight. And I think we're in it. You know, it's easy to talk about. It's really hard to do. But I think if we continue to get better and we continue to kind of peak at the right time, absolutely. I think we could be a big factor in March. That's the plan.
13-3, 21 in the AP poll. Big, big game coming up Saturday. They're at Iowa State, who's number 15. Chris Beard is the head basketball coach at Texas. I love it. My man. Appreciate you. In fact, I love you, Chris Beard. Great to have you on the show. Thank you very much, man. Great talking to you. You're the best, honestly.
Love you too, brother. See you later.
See you later. How often do you hear me say to a guest, I love you, dude. But I love that dude. And I love the relationship and the friendship. And he is awesome.